iTunes Store, and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Nikki Scully, the founder of Shamanic Journeys, and she's an Egyptian, I would say scholar. I mean, well, maybe not scholar, but certainly an expert in some ways with, what would you call yourself? How would you describe that?
I like to not call myself anything and let people call me whatever they want.
Okay. But you've taken more than 60 journeys to Egypt with a group of people that you have taken and guided through all
many groups.
Many, many, many groups. You are also the author of Sekhmet, Transformation in the Belly of the Goddess. And earlier I was alluding to an experience that you had when, I believe it was one of the first times you actually called on the power of this particular goddess segment. And it was at a firewalking ceremony. Can you describe that?
I was teaching at a place where we just rented space, and it turned out to be a nudist colony. But fortunately, we had our own private place that was separated. But I heard that for their entertainment that night, they were doing firewalking. And when I heard myself disparaging firewalking and, you know, kind of, you know, not speaking in a way that made me realize, wait a minute, what is causing you to say these things? You're afraid to firewalk.
And what is firewalking?
Well, they had built an immense fire. I mean, I was upset at the amount of wood that they wasted on this firewalk. They didn't need half of it. But they built this huge fire, and then they rake the coals out, and they are glowing red hot coals, and they probably had 50 feet, and I wasn't going to walk 50 feet. But I, you know, when I got there, it had been kind of a disaster. It was late. It was dark. There were no lights except the fire and whatever they happened to have, lanterns. And some people had gotten burned, including the leader, and they'd already given instructions, so there was nobody to give instructions. But here I was with my class, and I wasn't not going to do it. And I was really scared. And then I remembered Sekhmet. And I just said, Sekhmet, can you please help me? I know that I can do this, but I really don't know how. Would you help me? And suddenly I felt, and I'm not a seer, I'm not a psychic, I don't have those extrasensory perceptions, but I knew that there was a lioness standing at my side, and I could put my hand on its back. And I said, oh, can I please have another one? And then another one appeared on my other side. And I sussed out the fire and decided how far I wanted to walk. It was probably 15 or 20 feet. And I just said, okay, I know you're with me. And I walked, and I was amazed at the texture and the coolness of the glowing red coals. And when I completed the walk, I picked up some and was playing with it in my hands and tossing it around, and it was amazing. And then I knew when to stop. It's like, okay, you're done. I dropped the coals I had and stepped away from it, and it was quite a teaching for me.
So what was the teaching?
Well, there were so many levels. There were many levels to it, but one of the main ones was that Sekhmet was there for me, and that with her at my side, I could do anything within reason. I mean, I began to understand what it meant to have the kind of relationship I was wanting to build with her.
But in that kind of relationship, if you had asked Sekhmet to, let's say, help you do something that was hurtful to another person, do you think she would show up?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I can't, because it would never occur to
do.
Me.
Yeah.
That would go against Thoth, the wisdom god of Egypt, is my teacher. And one of the first things I learned about him is that he's accessible to anyone with a seeking mind, an open heart, and not wishing to do any harm. And so that was would be out of the question.
So underlying the gods and goddesses, let's say, of Egypt, that there is that underlying principle of good balance on the earth, and
that is Maat.
Yeah.
That is consciousness itself. That is the justice, the truth, the like with a capital T, not our individual truths that are whatever they are, but truth. And cosmic law, not people's law.
If we were looking at Maat and want to recognize that goddess, what would she, it's a goddess. Is that the
thing? She's a goddess.
What does she look like?
She's a beautiful woman with a single feather on her head and wings.
Ah. So I think we've all seen that. We didn't know her name because there are women that have earrings like that. Do you see them?
Isis has wings too.
Oh, okay. But so you know her because of the feather.
Single feather.
Okay.
Whereas Isis would be wearing a throne, or she might be wearing the horns of Hathor.
Okay. So that's helpful to us. So look for the feather, and that's that. And you would say that Maat would be like the scales of justice, like what we use that woman,
yes, you
that
are
with the blindfolded woman.
Mm-hmm. Your heart is weighed against the feather of Maat at death, according to ancient Egyptian funerary ritual. She is the feather on the scales. She is the scale. She is the balance.
All right, great. That's very helpful. Now, I know that the subtitle of your book is Transformation in the Belly of the Goddess. What can you say about being transformed in the belly of the goddess?
The whole first part of the book is the preparation of an offering that you will take in a guided journey to the statue of Sekhmet that's in Karnak, where I and Hank Wesselman and Normandy Ellis and a lot of people have written about their experiences. They're in those two wrote their experiences in the foreword of how this statue comes alive. And in all my experience, in the hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people that I've escorted through Egypt, I always ask them in the beginning, why are you coming to Egypt? And they all have their various reasons. And some of them just don't know what. And some of them know in front that Sekhmet called them. But once they walk in and I arrange it so everybody gets alone time, even if it's only a minute or two, their world changes. Their whole, she comes alive for them. And I can only speak to my own experience and relate what other people tell me. But at the end, it's all about Sekhmet.
So your own experience when you first were in front, did it happen the first time that you were
Absolutely.
In front of that
image? Particular statue.
Dark-colored stone
it's
statue.
It's actually black granite.
Black granite.
She's standing.
Oh, she's standing. And about how tall is she?
Maybe 8 or 9 feet.
I
can't remember. All right. I haven't been there.
And
in
is she
years.
Up on a pedestal, or is she?
No, she's on a kind of a plinth, which
just a little tiny pedestal, tiny,
not
flat.
Very flat.
No, she's still a little bit taller than we are.
Yes, but you can look her right in the eye.
But you can
you can connect to her heart to heart.
All right.
So when I walked in. I mean, it's just a small room with no decorations and no light except from a hole in the ceiling. And I walked in and I turned to face her and I saw a tear come out of her eye. And I was just stunned. So mine wasn't terribly dramatic, except that it was a stunning moment, and I knew that she was alive, and I knew that she was really glad I was there.
And so you pursued that from then on.
I would take everybody there and make sure they got to have whatever experience
she
gave them, and people come out crying, they come out.
What about Normandy? What Normandy Ellis? What do you recall her experience?
Well, until I read her foreword, she had never told me the story, and we taught 2 decades of the Egyptian mysteries. She was in Egypt, and she got really, really sick. So sick that she couldn't move for like 3 days, and in that time, Sekhmet came to her and came into her, and she was just, I haven't read the foreword in a long time. I can't remember exactly what happened, but she passed through the goddess and was inside the goddess.
So that was being in the belly of the goddess.
That was being in the belly of the goddess for her. And she later told me, initially I wasn't going to explain it in front and try and make it a surprise that when you did all this work and prepared this incredible offering of everything that you wanted to transform in yourself, that when she devoured it, she would also devour you.
Uh-oh. We'll talk more about that in a moment. I'm talking with Nikki Scully, and she's the author of Sekhmet, Transformation in the Belly of the Goddess. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, shamanicjourneys.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.com. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Nikki Scully, and she's the author of Sekhmet, Transformation in the Belly of the Goddess. And we're talking about being in the belly of the goddess. And I know that there's more that you can say about that, Nikki. Please help us.
The entire book is an alchemical process. And the prime material, the matter that is to be transformed, you need to spend a lot of time preparing. And so you get a ball of twine and you begin tying knots, starting with the last time you reacted from a place of unconsciousness. And you realize you've been doing that all your life and
like
you don't know why.
Or anger or something. Or
yeah, whatever it is. And you tie a knot for it and you tie a knot in gratitude for the lessons that that's given you in the past. And you tie a knot and ask that it be transformed. The next thing, then you go to the next one and the next one and the next one. And
so you kind of keep this ball of twine with you in
right,
your daily work,
exactly,
by your desk or in your car.
And when you're not using it, you might have a little altar built for it.
Uh-huh.
And you are preparing this offering for the goddess. So initially, I wasn't going to tell them. And then I realized, no, I can't do that. This is a book. I can't be responsible for that. They need to know in front what's going to happen. But when Normandy wrote her foreword, she didn't know that. So she didn't tell me that in order, the priestesses, the priests that wear the leopard skin, the priests of a goddess named Sashat, which I won't go into now, but she's the goddess of writing and another partner of Thoth.
She's one of my goddesses.
Is she?
Right, because I'm one of the scribes, right.
And so in order to wear that leopard skin, you have to have passed through the belly of the goddess. So I don't know how they did it then, but this is what she's given me now. And it's an initiatory rite of passage to do this work. And it's very shamanic in that you not only experience being devoured, but you experience the entire breakdown and how she separates the knots out and determined what's going to go toward healing what's going to go toward strengthening her, what's going to go toward the new you, what's going to be waste and or go out and scat and feed whoever her scat feeds, so nothing is wasted. But in experiencing that, while you're living your life, you're learning to live in the spirit world and the physical world simultaneously, because you have to have attention on what she's doing in order for this to work. And the process of this book allows you to gain that kind of perspective and attention. And all the journeys that you go through as you break down, you witness yourself being reduced to your absolute essence. And then you pass through the eye of the needle and everything's the same, yet everything is different. And then you start the rebuilding. But the rebuilding, the regeneration of yourself is a co-creation of you and Sekhmet working together. And then she brings in various other deities to assist in the process. And by the time that you have matured in her belly and that you have been reconstituted, then when she births you in the way that she does, when you emerge, let's put it that way, when you emerge from her, you are an adult child of this goddess. She is in you and you are in her, and that's it for your entire life. and you are a warrior for Ma'at.
I want to ask you, I know that you have many journeys in this book.
It's all journeys.
Is there a way to access these journeys besides a written word?
I'm working on it. I'm doing,
I mean, I know that you had
video classes.
You had an audio CD at one point.
I have not done that with this. What I like to tell people to do is share it with someone and take turns reading it to each other.
There you go.
Because that way you also have support and somebody to share your experience with. We also have a forum that if you get hold of me at office@shamanicjourneys.com and tell me that you're doing this work, I'll put you in the forum and you can ask questions of people who've done the work. And I look in there as often as I can. And we try and get discussions going about these processes because, you know, people say, well, I've never done anything before. You know, can I start with this? And it's really, you know, if she's calling you, you know.
And so if you're asking the question, it's probably that, yeah, you've arrived at the answer. And I love it that you're saying to do it with someone else. That's a wonderful suggestion, so that you share it with another.
Or a circle.
They're very, very deep practices. And I know that I went through the book and I read them, but for me, you know, to read them to myself, I can't read and then go into this other space. So that's very helpful. Nikki, when you talk about being devoured in the belly of the goddess, I mean, and taking these shamanic journeys, that sounds pretty scary. What can you say about that?
Well, we deal with fear in the very beginning of the book. That's the first journey, is getting rid of the fear, because that's a natural response to people, especially if they don't realize that shamanic death, illumination, and rebirth it's just part of the shamanic path. So if you do shamanic practices, even if you're not a shaman, you're likely to experience that. And if you experience it in a shamanic way, it's much better than getting yourself splashed across the freeway so that you have time to think about what you can learn when you're in the belly of the goddess and devoured. So it's an intentional step to go through the experience of shamanic death, illumination, and rebirth.
I remember years ago, I'm going back decades, and Michael, my partner, his first real deep psychedelic experience, I remember when he came out of it, He just looked illuminated. He just was shining. And he said, oh, I dissolved into all of history and all of everything that I was and just became just nothing but particles and all. And he just started describing all of this. And he didn't come out of it with any fear at all. He was just like very excited.
Total love. There is nothing but love.
And he had this experience. And that's kind of what you're talking about.
It's exactly
like
what I'm talking about.
Not to be, it dissolves into that which we are, which is love.
Yeah, our essence.
Our essence.
The ego splits long. Ego is important. We need it in order to survive. However, less is best for most of us, and none for those occasions when we want to become one with all that is. And from the vantage point of inside the belly, and living your life in it's the perspective is so different. And you realize that these gods, as we call them, are actually part of us. They're part of our DNA. And we, them, especially, well, if you go through this, you and Sekhmet will have shared such an intimate relationship that you're one and the same.
Nikki, I want to thank you so much for being part of the New Dimensions program today. I've been speaking with Nikki Scully. She's the author of Sekhmet, Transformation in the Belly of the Goddess. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, shamanicjourneys.com. And I also want to mention all of her books are available, and her workshops are also listed on her website called HathorsMirror.com. So HathorsMirror.com, where you can actually buy her books directly if that's, and they're signed copies too. I want to tell you all that you can also get to all of that through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3624.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Oren J. Sofer, author of Your Heart Was Made for This. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about our capacity to respond effectively to today's complex world.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
I will listen to and learn from people who don't look like me.
I commit to find the strength to work on my own implicit biases, to better educate myself, and to encourage those around me to do the same.
I will listen actively and respectfully.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
You're listening